Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're looking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance, Father, that we need. To help us, Father, to walk along the pathway of righteousness so that we can walk closer and stronger in and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of the service, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Going to be dealing with you this evening from 1 Corinthians Chapter 1, we finished up with the book of Romans, all except for the last chapter, and I didn't do the last chapter because most of that was just his saying goodbye. So, right now we're in the Corinthians. All right. Beginning here with verse 1. Is Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sothenus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollo, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Caiaphas and Gaius. Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that end, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to the saved, them that believe. For the Jew required a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And may the Lord our God now sanctify this his word and bring to you and I that which he would have each one of us to receive this evening, to strengthen us so that we can walk stronger in the Lord and with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to back up here now a little bit. This morning, Dennis was on some things because a lot of anger and all, but it was all truth. Because mankind today is not wanting the truth. And they're doing a whole lot of actually just what we've read about here in this church here at Corinth. We're seeing a lot of that happen today. Because man just will not settle down and look to the Lord Jesus, the Almighty God, for for his answers. He either wants to work them out himself or listen to someone else that don't know the Word of God, that's not walking right and upright, that's on their way to hell and trying to take others with them. That's what we're facing today out here in this world. We don't have time. There are a lot of them doing it. They're playing. And they're playing church. We don't have the time to play. You better get serious and get right with the Lord Jesus Christ, or he's going to come and take his church out of this world, and you're going to be left behind and on your way to hell. Well, I know we got some out here that's trying to tell you, oh, well, just because you're left behind don't mean that you can't make heaven your home. According to God's word, it does. Means exactly that. Those that will be ready will be taken with the church. The only ones that's going to make it through during the tribulation period is the 144,000 Jews. That's 12,000 from each one of the tribes. 12 tribes of Jews, there'll be 12,000 of each tribe. That's 144,000. And they are specially, because they are being chosen to help the Lord Jesus Christ rule among the Jewish people. But when this church age ends, for you and I that are Gentiles, our time has come to a close. So you better be getting right. If you're not right, you better get that way. And you better really get into God's word. Stay in God's word. Study his word. Settle down. And get ready. Because he's coming. And it's not as long off or as far off as what we all think. We don't know exactly when it'll be. But we do know that it is close, and we see it getting closer all the time, because as we study God's word and we look at what he tells us to watch for, we have seen that all of it has happened or is going on right now. The church better wake up. Or there's going to be a lot of the church world left behind. Now, we know that most all of us, even the way we were raised, just as I was, we all know that we were sent to by our parents. What do you mean your parents said to you? Well, they did. I was raised in the church. But it got coming close Christmas time. We were told we better be good, or Santa Claus wouldn't come see us. We were told the same thing in Sunday school. Mind your parents now, be good. Santa Claus ain't going to be there to see you. He'll put a lump of coal in your stocking. That'll be all you'll get for Christmas. Easter rolls around. All it done was changed from Santa Claus to the Easter Bunny and Easter eggs. And yet, neither one of it was sold. Christmas, which we should have been celebrating the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we was looking for Santa Claus. The man in the old red suit with whiskers. We took both holidays that should have been used to remind us of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we made pagan holidays out of it. That's why here at this church, you ain't gonna find Christmas celebrated, and you ain't gonna find Easter celebrated. You know, there is something going on this time of year that we do need to be very solemn about and spend a lot of time in prayer. And it's happening along about the same time as Easter. But it is the feast of Passover that goes way back when Moses was being used to free the Jewish people from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh made the statement that the next thing that would happen, the next plague that would happen, that all of the firstborn would be killed. He meant the Jews. But you see, God turned that around, put that on Pharaoh. And he told the Jewish people to get them a lamb and to keep it until a certain day. In fact, the 14th day. And then they would kill that lamb, put the blood up over the top of the door and down each side of that door, down the doorpost on each side. And when the angel of death came through and he would see that blood, he would pass over. Because those firstborn that was to be killed was the Egyptians, Pharaoh's people. He brought it on his own people by proclaiming it. You see, we need to watch what we say, how we speak, what we believe. Because we can bring a lot of things about that we really don't want to see. But a lot of times we do it without thinking. We don't think a thing about it. That's why we need to be in God's Word and in God's house. But we need to be in His house that will walk by His Word and not man's way of thinking. Now, here in this first verse of 1 Corinthians, Paul starts out like he usually does with this epistle. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Silvanus, our brother. You see, Paul is letting them know who is writing, but also what his title is. He's letting them know that he is an apostle. What is an apostle? How does that differ from a disciple? There is a difference. A disciple was one that walked with Jesus, that was a follower of his, a believer and a follower of his. An apostle is one that God has called and has sent to preach the gospel. He's one that has been sent. And Paul's letting this Corinthian church know these things about himself. He told them that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sothenes. This Sothenes was not an apostle, but the best that we can get from the scripture right now about Sothenes is that he was a believer in Jesus, but he was also a minister of the gospel. And the best we can figure is probably a ruler of the Jewish synagogue that was mentioned actually in Acts 18, 17, chapter 18, verse 17. But he was a brother to Paul, and he was a minister of the gospel. All right, verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Unto the church. Oh boy. I've had this one word thrown at me so many times as I was growing up, especially through my teen years. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And when I would refuse to do things that the other teenagers would do it and all, they'd look at me and they'd say, just who do you think you are, a saint? They didn't know they called me exactly what I was. Because when you are a born-again child of God, that's one of your titles. You are a saint. Now, because you see, you got that way because you have been sanctified. How was you sanctified? You were sanctified by the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ when you went to him, and when you confessed your sins, you was forgiven. You asked him into your life. He came into your life. Your life changed. You become that believer. You also then could carry that title of being a saint. Now, verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Those first three verses there is Paul's greeting to that church. He took three verses to get his greeting done to that church. But looking at three, he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Grace and peace. You know, we all need to understand that grace comes from God. It's unmerited. It's a favor that is given to us by him. When we were yet sinners, even. That's what brings us to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And leads us into becoming that believer. And we do so, actually, through the exercise of God's love. It's given to us because God loved us so much. Think about that. Not because we loved him, but because he loved us. And he loved us that much while we were yet sinners. He's still loving sinners today. He don't want to see any lost. We know there's going to be more lost. Just as Dennis was reading this morning. Because God's word tells us. Dennis read it to us this morning. Broad is the way of destruction, and many there be that find it. Narrow, straight and narrow is the way of righteousness, and few there be that find that. We know there's going to be more of mankind lost and go to hell than's going to be saved. But that's not God's wish. And as we heard this morning, those of us that heard him when he spoke, God don't send nobody to hell. He don't. You say, well, you say he does. No. He don't send you there. He'll put you there. But you send yourself by the way you live. You choose to live contrary to him and his way. And you choose to go the way of this world out here. And the way Satan leads you, you send your own self to hell. But yes, you'll be put there. But God don't send you there. His wish is that none be lost. But he also knows that there's going to be more lost than saved. His word tells us that. Now, here in verse 4, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. You see, whatever you and I receive from God, it comes from God the Father, but it comes to you and I through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because we belong to him. And he lives in us, and we live in him, and it is brought to you and I by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus went back to heaven to sit on the right hand of power, but he sent power back to you and I and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to live with us, to guide us, to give us the power, to give us comfort, to give us his love. We are to walk in God's love. As the Bible calls it, agape love. Agape means God's love. And nothing works without that. Faith will not work without love. And love won't work without faith. Those two has to be together to get works done. Because you see, you and I on our own, we can't do any work. We're channels for the Holy Spirit to work through, to do the work that God is wanting done here on this earth today. He needs you and I because he's in heaven. He needs man to work through. That's why we're sent. And why we are called on to be different. And you know, here in verse 5 he says, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Our knowledge and all comes to you and I by the Holy Spirit as we study God's word. As I've told y'all many times before, when you sit down with God's word and you pray about it before you open this Bible up, and then as you start reading and you are a believer and you have the Holy Spirit, as you read, the Spirit is talking to you, revealing to you what these verses are truly telling you. And you can read the same verse over and over and over again, and the Holy Spirit will be giving you something different each time. He'll be taking you deeper and deeper and deeper into it until you really get the understanding of God's way instead of your own or the ways of this world out here. Now, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, you see, what confirms Christ in you and I? The Holy Spirit of God. That's what will let people really see Christ. Because as the Spirit guides you and I, and as he has us doing work, people is seeing Jesus. Because if we are walking in Jesus, and Jesus is walking in us, we're not going to do anything that's going to cast shadows of doubt on him. We're going to be lifting him up, bringing him glory, bringing him praise, bringing him honor. And when they see you and I, they are going to see Jesus. Now, verse 7, so that you come behind in no guilt, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, while a gift has a wide variety of meanings, here, the gift that he's talking about is the spiritual gift. It is the gift of the Spirit. And we'll find that, and we'll be getting even into that later as we go through this epistle of 1 Corinthians. We'll be getting deeper and deeper into the gifts of the Spirit. Now, verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Confirm means to strengthen, to establish, to make firm. That's what that word means. And, you know, historically, the gospel had been confirmed in all of those things. And now they anticipate the prospect of a blessed event, when Jesus Christ shall also confirm them himself blameless before the throne of Almighty God. We know he intercedes for us. But his word there is telling us. He confirms that. He is there before the throne of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, interceding for you and I. And then we are given works to do. You see, we don't work our way into heaven with good works. We do good works because we're on our way to heaven. We do good works because we have been saved by Jesus. You can't buy your way into heaven. I don't care how much money you got. You can't work your way there. But you do good works because you're on your way. He tells us here in verse 9, Paul says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, we don't go to him on our own. A lot of people think, well, you know, I chose Jesus myself. No, we don't. The Holy Spirit is what deals with you and I while we're sinners. And he keeps putting things in our mind that we need something besides ourselves until he finally gets it across to you and I that we need Jesus. And then God calls us and chooses our work for us. Some are chosen to be pastors. Some are chosen to be deacons. Some are chosen to be Sunday school teachers. Some are called just to be workers in the church for physical work. But they're just as important. They're all needed. We need those that God will call for the physical work as well as we need a pastor. That pastor can only do so much. He spends his time in the Word, the study of the Word, and in prayer, talking with God and things that way. But it's up to others to take care of the church itself, most usually, especially when you got a big church, because he hadn't got time. And each one is important. And they're all God's children. And God loves every one of them equally. There's no difference. Now, we'll each get rewarded for the work we do. But that reward comes according to the way you do your work. How did you do it? Did you do it just because you had to, or did you do it because you enjoyed doing it? What was your attitude about it? That's what will get you an award, or it won't get you one. Now, we're finding a lot of this in the world today, this next few verses here. In fact, next three verses. Paul's dealing with another thing that we got a whole lot of going on today. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the same, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it had been, hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollo, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. And today we have got divisions everywhere in the church world. Now back then, because the churches were just being established in this day and time, wasn't too many of them even going yet. And as they was founding and setting up these churches, they was claiming, well, I'm of this one, and I'm of that one, and I'm of this one over here. Today, instead of us claiming, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollo, and all of this, as they were doing, it's, well, I'm Baptist, you're Methodist, my brother over here, he's Presbyterian. This one over here, I know, he's Pentecostal. Division. Division. None of them preaching the same thing. None of them really standing together. Oh, they'll all use the name of Jesus, but they preaching a whole lot of things contrary to the word of Almighty God. Instead of standing on the power and the truth of God's word. And that's what Paul's warning us against right there. He tells you and I that we're not to have all that contention, that we are to stand together. Here in verse 13, he says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. And you see, we shouldn't be looking at these different denominations like we look at them today. You've got to either be a Baptist or you ain't going to make heaven your home. That's not so. They need to get rid of these walls, tear these walls down, all come together and join his church. That's the only church that counts. It's his church. Then it don't matter what name you put up over the door. That's why back then, these churches all went by the name of the place where they was at. This church here at Corinth. That's who he's writing to. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. You see, he wasn't calling it Baptist, Methodist, or nothing else. It was the church at Corinth. Because there's only one church. That's the Lord Jesus Christ's church. And we all need to be standing in it. And we need to be preaching his word. As we are told in his word, we are to preach this doctrine. This is the doctrine we're to preach. They ask you, What denomination are you? I'm not denomination. But what do you preach? I preach the apostles' doctrine. All the apostles' doctrine. Yeah, but not this denominational apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine, the Holy Bible. That's the one I'm told to preach. I'm told if I come preaching any other than this, I'm cursed. I'm not to preach any other, just this one. Now, Paul says, I thank God that I baptized none of you, Caiaphas, Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Because Paul goes on to say, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, I'm going to ask all of you that's within the sound of my voice, call in and all. Who should baptize you? You come into this church and you want to be a member. You just accept Jesus Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. You're to be baptized. Now, who should baptize you? Give you a minute to think about that one. Usually the pastor does it. Or if the pastor can't, one of the deacons. But any born-again child of God can do it. Any truly born-again child of God can baptize you. Now most of us pastors, we do when we can. Because actually, it's a privilege for us. It is really a privilege for me to baptize you. But, you see, this is how much mankind has walked away from the truth of God's word. Now, verse 17, Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And we know that that's where it all comes from. It all comes from that man on the cross. All power, all knowledge, all wisdom comes because of that man on the cross. Without him, we're nothing. Without him, we lost. Well, I'm going to get ready here and close up here in a minute. Now, verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, God didn't choose the most elite men of the world. Think about that. His 12 handpicked were not elite men of the world. They were fishermen, one tax collector. We know what people thought of them. And one physician. And look who he chooses today. Here to choose the most highly educated of men. Look what he does when he picked me. Took a little old country boy with an eighth grade education. Called him into the ministry. Make a preacher out of him. Wasn't even a good young man either. But you see, he knows things we don't know. He knows who will stand where he calls them for and puts them and who won't. That's why he calls. We've got a lot of preachers today that are not called by God to preach. They're there for the money. And that's the only reason they're there. You take their paycheck away from them, see how long they stay. Probably beat you out the door. But he tells us himself. Now, 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. And we know that was so when Jesus was here on this earth. His own wouldn't accept him. Most of the Jewish people today are still not accepting him. Oh, we've got a lot of Jews to have, yes. But the land of Israel right now is still contrary to the Lord Jesus Christ. They are still living by the law. They've still not accepted him. But there is coming a day that all of Israel will accept him. But that's going to be down at the end of the tribulation time. We're told about it. But unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. See, he's telling you right there just what I just told you. That's not the kind of men he called. Because when he calls you, he knows wherever he puts you, you're going to stand until he moves you. It don't matter what comes against you, who comes against you, what's said about it. You're going to stand and stand on his word. You're not going to back up off of it. It's like there was a few of us, very few, that would not close our church doors during this pandemic. There was one in California. There was two in Texas. One here. You know. Come on in. Come on in.
You all have church tonight?
Huh?
You all have church tonight?
We're having it now, huh?
Are you? Oh, is it Bible study?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We were looking for a church. We just moved here, so let's
well, you got somebody with you?
My husband and I were born.
Bring him on in. Bring him on in. We've got a couple coming in. I'll get ready and close out here in a minute, and I can talk to these people. But I'm going to wait for them to get in here. I've even got one of our bills to give them. I got a hand bill. Well, I'll go ahead and close out. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for these times we can come together. Now, Father, there you left. Your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit, Father, to take care of them, to keep them safe, keep them in health, and to see to their needs. Now, Father, our prayer list tonight, as each name is called, Father, may the Holy Spirit fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Terry Coates, James Taylor, myself, Father, Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, Brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls and Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hillen, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Father, Pastor Eric, his wife Jackie, the Little Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron. These churches, Father, make them lighthouses to the community in which they stand. And these pastors, Father, keep them filled with the Holy Spirit to lead these churches along the pathway of righteousness. For my three friends in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombillo, for Sue, for David, for Palin's Gooden, Kelly Smith and his wife, for Karen, for Dennis Lee. Father, we all stand in need of a healing touch from the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Touch us, Father, in great and mighty ways. Bring about the healing that is needed. Use us, Father. Use us according to your will and your way. And Father, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone, remember, if you will walk with God, he'll walk with you. Stay with him through this week. We can all come back together again at 5 p.m. Thursday evening. So until then, have a great week. God bless. Bye-bye now. He wouldn't come in. She kept motioning for him.